Turn in your Bibles, please. You have a copy of God's Word. Find Joshua chapter 14. Such a joy and privilege to be with y'all today. Of course, Brother Russell and Christy are two of my favorite people. I just love them, and their kids are just outstanding. It just blesses me. Saturdays, I pray especially for PKs. So, Adriana and Julian and Savannah and Bryce, I pray for on Saturdays, along with about 40-something other PKs that I am aware of and know of and have on my prayer list, because PKs, I understand a little bit. So Sunday is sitting here. She was a PK. And PKs, in a sense, it's different than any ordinary church member's kids. Believe me, you may not know or realize this, but it is. And I wasn't a PK. My grandfather was a pastor, but I wasn't. But I've watched my kids and prayed for them and hoped for them, and I made my mistakes, I'm sure, in rearing them. But I just have a heart for PKs. Just have a heart for them. And I want God to protect them. They live in a glass house. You may not realize they really live in a glass. They're the preacher's kids. Of course, you realize the preacher's kids are so mean because they play with the deacon's kids. That's what the problem is. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Joshua 14. Joshua 14. And we're going to talk about Caleb tonight for just a little while, and I'll tell you why. Joshua 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people to melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I'll be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Keep your Bible open to that passage, because I want to talk about Caleb. Now, the reason this message is a little personal tonight is because a few months ago, I turned 85. And that's how old Caleb was when he said this day. That was his birthday. He turned 85. And so there's some observations I want to give you about Caleb that I tried to apply to my own life. Now, one thing I want to tell you is getting older is not easy. Please, all of you that know where I'm coming from, Judy used to say, getting old ain't for sissies. And that was one of her statements that she made. The Jews divided old age up into three parts. 60 to 70 was the commencement of old age. 60 to 70. 70 to 80 was time of the hoary head, the gray hairs. It had to do with getting older and getting gray-headed. The hoary head, the gray hairs. 80 and above, the scripture said, they were old and stricken in age. So you're looking at one that's old and stricken in age. So this was Caleb's birthday. And there's some observation and statements that he makes here that I think we can apply to ourselves. Statement number one. Caleb said, I'm still alive. Look down to verse 10. He said, I'm still alive. He said, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. You know why I'm still walking on this earth? Because of God's grace. God's grace. I'm still alive. And now, pinch yourself, okay? Are you alive? And God has given you life. You're still alive because God is good. He's merciful. You're alive. You know, and I've, you know, a couple of years ago, actually 2 years ago now, I had a major stroke in 2023 on Labor Day. And so my daughter, Becky, was taking me to the hospital. We went to emergency. We were there a while, and they didn't find anything definite, so they sent us home. The doctor had requested a CT scan, but they didn't do it. So we got home. I was still feeling bad. So the next morning, I told Becky, I said, I'm still feeling terrible. And so the doctor found out they didn't do the CT scan, so he sent us over to an imaging place. And then we got a text that said, ASAP, get to the emergency. You got a brain bleed. I had a major stroke. Time I got there, I was so weak I couldn't even stand up. Couldn't even sit up or stand up. And I told Becky on the way, I said, Beck, this is probably the end. My journey's in. And I want you to know, I know I'm saved. I know if this is the time of the journey in, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to be with the Lord. And I know I've trusted Him as my Savior. And I want you to know I had a great wife. I've had a good life. I had a good ministry God gave me. And I'm at peace. I'm ready. God bless me with wonderful children, wonderful friends. And I said, I'm at peace if this is it. Well, we got there. They got me into emergency. They got me up into intensive care. And for a day or two, they didn't know whether I was going to make it or not. Couldn't even stand up. Couldn't sit up. I was so weak. So then they got me into physical therapy. Well, now you know the slogan of physical therapists, don't you? No pain, no gain. Lord, have mercy on me. I'm telling you. They were great, but were they pushy. I mean, good night. So it wasn't long until I had a walker. I was getting around. It wasn't long. I was moving around. And God kept just putting little blessings. One afternoon, a little African-American nurse that I'd kind of been friends with there that came and was my nurse. And she came in, she was humming a song. And I said, do you know that song? She said, oh, yeah. I said, I sing that in our choir at our church. I said, would you sing it for me? It was that song, One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus. Yeah. Man, she started belting that out. And pretty soon, all these people from all down the rooms and everyone, I mean, it must have been 20, 30 people gathered at my door. And she's singing that song like she believes it, One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus. I mean, I just had little handfuls on purpose God dropped along the way. And incredibly, I began to recover. And then God let me preach again. That was my passion. I said, Lord, please let me preach again. And He did. And so now I'm back preaching some, and people as gracious as your pastor have me, and I'm thrilled to be here. I'm still alive. I'm still alive. Can you say that tonight? I'm still alive. Still alive. You know, you wouldn't have got out of bed today unless God gave you strength. Do you know you couldn't even lift your little finger If God didn't give you strength, amen, you couldn't think straight, walk straight, get up or do anything if God didn't give you the strength and power to do it. God graciously gives us life. Caleb said, I'm still alive. Now, Caleb's been alive a long time. He's celebrating his 85th birthday. And when he was born in Egypt in slavery, his father, Jephunneh, was so depressed over the conditions of the people of Israel. He had been so put down because they were slaves 7 days a week. They were slaves. They were treated terrible in Egypt. The one place in the Bible calls this the iron furnace. The iron furnace in Egypt. I mean, they were repressed and they were beaten and they were treated terribly in Egypt. And he named, when his little boy was born 85 years before, Jephunneh named him Caleb. Now to us, that's a good name. We think of one of the heroes of the Bible, one of the strong men of the Bible, one of the great men of the Bible. Actually, the word Caleb means dog. Jephunneh was so under this pressure and slavery that when his little baby boy was born, he named him Dog. Now, we like the name Caleb. I think it's a great name because of who Caleb is and what he did. But in Bible days, that was kind of a reproachful name to be named. Caleb, dog. We're just dogs down here in Egypt living as slaves with our time running out. So through those hard days of slavery and through those rigor, it said they served with rigor. That Hebrew word having extreme pressure and stress and treated terribly, served with rigor. Those people were serving like that. They were treated like chattel. And then he was there when Moses came on the scene. Caleb was there. Man, and I'm telling you, when God shows up, watch out. And when Moses got there and he said, I'm going to deal with Egypt. I'm going to deal with them for the way they treated you. And you're not going to leave empty-handed either. When you go out of Egypt, you're going to get rewarded for all that service you did. I'm going to see you take riches with you. And they did. The Egyptian was so glad to get rid of them. They said, oh, take these earrings. Take this jewelry. I mean, just please get out of here. Because those plagues came. Yeah. I mean, God. He sent the flies, and he sent the darkness, and he sent the locust, and they had the murrain that destroyed the cattle, and I mean, thunder and lightning and earthquake. I mean, God just judged Egypt. He destroyed Egypt because of their wickedness and the way he had treated his people. He destroyed them. Caleb saw all of that. He saw all of that. Those plagues, and then they came out. The great host, 2 to 3 million of them, came out of Egypt. And then they were in the wilderness 40 years. 40 years in the wilderness. And God fed them manna every day, except on the Lord's day. And he gave them a double helping to take care of the Sabbath. I mean, here they are, they're getting manna from heaven. A pillar of cloud leads them by day, a pillar of fire by night. God's providing the need in the wilderness. But now they're journeying to Canaan. You see, really, Canaan, I know we use it in our songs and everything, but it's not a picture of heaven, really. It's a picture of victory and the fruitful life. But they were journeying to Canaan. They were on the way to Canaan, and God was meeting their life. So Caleb said, yeah, I'm still alive. God has been merciful and long-suffering, and I'm still alive. The Bible tells us to note the day that we have. Redeem the time. Redeem the time. Note today that the days you have. Now, statement number two. Let's go to statement number two. And Caleb's putting down some of his life, some of his autobiography. He said, I'm 85 years old today. I'm still alive. God's brought me all along the way. You're still alive because of God's grace. You're still here because of God's grace and mercy and long-suffering. The second thing he says is, I am one that has wholly followed the Lord, and I'm still following the Lord. He said, I have followed the Lord. Now, this is said several times. Look at verse 8, verse 9, and verse 14, where he said, I wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse 9, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse 14, because that he wholly followed the Lord our God. Hey, I want to tell you something tonight. God doesn't want any half-hearted Christians. He wants you to be all in. He wants you to wholly follow. We sang it, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. I mean, God wants your obedience. He wants you to wholly follow him. And that's the kind of character Caleb had. He was all in. He said, I'm ready to do whatever God wants me to do. The songwriter wrote, must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to fill the prize and sail through bloody seas. I mean, God has done so much for us. We ought to be willing to do anything for him. I went to a funeral service about 2 years ago of a very wealthy developer over in Dallas. Now, I mean, I was in the company of some of the uppity people. I mean, I felt so out of place. Now, these were the rich people of Dallas. I mean, this poor Baptist preacher. I mean, I was ashamed of the car. They were pulling up with all kinds of fancy cars and stuff because this was the rich and elite of the Dallas area. And this rich developer, had an interesting life, to say the least. I mean, he had gained and lost fortunes, and he was well known in the all of the Dallas area. When we walked in, Brother Russell, on the screen was these words. It said all in, all in. It was on the screen. And then you look everywhere in the funeral brochure, all in, all in. I didn't know what they were talking about. But anyway, I began to sit there and listen to the story. And come to find out, his daughter went to a Bible study after this guy was already retirement age. And he had been all over the world. He had homes in Reno. He had homes in Hawaii. He had homes in Palm Springs. I mean, he was very, very wealthy. I knew him because of a police friend of mine is how I knew of the funeral and stuff. And that's why I went to the service. And so everything had this word all in. So what happened, his daughter went to this Bible study and she got saved. God saved her. And he got to wondering why she was so different. Now, she was already an adult. She'd already graduated from college and everything. And she just had such a change of life. He decided to look into it. So he went to this church where they were having this Bible study, and he got interested. He started reading the Bible. Then they got him into a men's Bible study, and he got saved. I mean, he's already retirement age. He got saved. But his theme for his whole life was all in. That means whatever he went after, he put his whole heart in it. He went all in 110. I mean, he just threw himself into it. So when he got saved, he did the same thing. He started supporting missions, going on mission trips, doing the work of God. All in, all in. And I thought when I left there, that's the way it needs to be for we that are believers. Are we all in? I mean, all in. I mean, when he got saved, he thought, man, my business belongs to the Lord. My life belongs to the Lord. My family belongs to the Lord. I'm all in. That's the way Caleb was. He wholly followed the Lord. He put the Lord first, and he wholly followed the Lord. And he based his life on the Word of God. If you look at some of the places here in Scripture, look at verse 6. Look at verse 6 here in our passage. He said, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, said, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said. What's Caleb basing all this on? God's word. God's word. He's basing it on God's word. And then look at verse 10. He said, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses. Caleb's basing his obedience in life on what God has said. God said it. I know it's true. That's the way I'm going. That's the way I'm going to follow. It was his obedience. He wholly followed the Lord. That's why when they came to Kadesh Barnea, that was the crisis. We all come to them. That fork in the road, that crisis point. And so they got to Kadesh Barnea, and they said, are we going to go on over into Canaan land, or are we going to stop? And so they sent out 12 spies. You remember the story. They went out, they got down to the Valley of Eshcol, and they got those grapes that were so big and juicy, took two men to carry one cluster of grapes. I mean, it was so much. Remember God told them? I'm going to give you a land full of milk and honey. I mean, you talk about fruitfulness. I mean, I'm going to give you that land. So they get back to the camp, and they said, what is the report? Well, 10 of those guys said, we can't do it. There are giants over there, and there's walled cities, and they saw all the negatives. We can't do it. Caleb and Joshua, too, said, we can do it. God said we could. God will be with us. Let's go in now and do this. But the 10 swung the whole crowd, and they said, we can't do it. They stopped. They didn't do it. Now, I've got a question for you tonight. Anybody here can stand and give me the names of the 10? Can anybody stand up here tonight? Just stand up and give me the names of the 10 people that came back with a negative report. You can't do it. I mean, I've never been. It will be a shockaroonie if I ever use this and somebody stands up and says, here are the 10 men. I mean, I'm going to be taken back, man. I mean, really taken back. Yeah. No, but we remember Caleb and Joshua.
That's right.
They wholly followed the Lord. And their names are etched in the heroes of the faith, Caleb and Joshua, because they wholly followed the Lord. What would it take in your life to wholly follow the Lord? You know, not everyone finishes well. Those 10 didn't. They died in the wilderness. That whole generation of men died in the wilderness. But Caleb and Joshua didn't. They went into the Canaan land, but not everyone finishes well. One of the saddest cases in the Bible is King Saul. Yeah. I talk about somebody that had everything going for him. He was tall, he was strong, he was a leader, he was humble to start with. He had everything going for him. But that jealousy got in him. He got filled with jealousy toward David. Wanted to kill him. His leadership was filled with, it was a toxic leadership. And it spoiled his whole kingdom. Cost the lives of his children. Cost him his kingdom. All of it. Because of he didn't deal with that jealousy that he had in his heart. And he didn't wholly follow the Lord. But Apostle Paul, he came down the end and he said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. I'm ready now. Whatever the Lord has for me. Romans 6:16 says, knowing not that to whom know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, either of sin unto death or of unrighteousness unto holiness. You either yield to the Lord, or you yield to the world and the flesh and sin. God wants you to wholly follow him. You know, I've come to the place here in this journey in my life. I'm not here to do my own thing. I'm not here to seek my own fulfillment, to increase my possessions, to prove I'm somebody, to be relevant, to be successful. God has me here to bring glory to him and serve him. That's why I'm here. I'm not here to do those other things. Let me give you the last statement, but finish here. Caleb said, I'm still alive. And Caleb said, I've wholly followed the Lord. Now, the last thing he said, and you know what that is, it's that song. I want that mountain. He said, I've wholly followed the Lord. I'm still alive, and I want that mountain. I got a dream here. I got something I want to do for God. I want that mountain. And that's what he says in verse 12, which is really great. He held on to God's promise. But Caleb, you're 85. You better slow down. I want that mountain. I want that mountain. All the difficulties may come, and they may get stronger as you get older. But and sometime you had to go through the refiner's fire, and sometime you're like the ship in the storm. But he said, I want that mountain. There were still giants to overcome. Look at Joshua 15 and 14. They still had to deal with some giants. They still had some battles. Paul said in Philippians, he said, I have not apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things that are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Are you pressing on the upward way? New heights you're gaining every day, still praying as you onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want that mountain. I want to climb that mountain and bring glory to my God. Where the grapes of Eshcol grow. I want that mountain where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Eshcol grow. I want that mountain. I want to tell you, Caleb's one of my favorites, and it really reminded, when I hit that 85, I thought, wow, I want to be like Caleb. I want to wholly follow the Lord. I want to be thankful I'm still alive, and I want that mountain. I don't know what God has for me. I don't know what the bends in the road may be, but I know I'm his child. Amen. And I know God still wants to use me until he calls me home. And when he calls me home, I'll bid this old world goodbye. I'll put my sword in the sheath, and I'll be ready to see him. Yes, sir. And bow at his feet. How is it with you tonight? Are you wholly following the Lord? Are you really obeying him in all the areas of life? Are you his servant, serving him as Caleb did, wholly, your whole heart, with your whole heart? Would you bow your heads, please? It's been a joy and blessing for me to be here. Wow. I love this church. I love your pastor. I love the history you have as a church. And I love what you do for the Lord here. And it blesses me to see the church doing well. God's blessing it. Going to start a new school year. Young people are going off to college. People are getting saved and baptized. Man, that ought to make your heart leap with joy to see that young man baptized today. The Bible said there's joy in heaven over one soul that repenteth. People rejoice. One precious soul. I want that mountain. Are we ready to sing it? We're going to sing it. We're going to sing it. And if God speaks to your heart, Brother Russell will be here. Pastor will be here to pray with you, to help you. And if you want to be saved, you've never really been saved, get it settled. Get it settled. And if you're saved and you're not serving the Lord, make this the day you say, Lord, you're going to be Lord of my life. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to give it my best. I'm all in. I'm all in, Lord. Nothing held back. I'm all in. Let's stand.